This is 50 File with...
Hello, hello, it's Colleen, and welcome everyone. Hey, we're kind of winding down here these last few weeks of summer, but I do want to ask my dear friend Cindy. She is now in LA. She is exactly where she's been dreaming of being, and I'm excited that we see each other through our computer screens because as we shared with you on the last show, we are able to podcast remotely through Zoom. Cindy, you look wonderful. LA life is agreeing with you.
You're adorable. It's exciting. The move was huge, monumental. Mm-hmm. It's not like I've moved here forever, guys. I'm just here for the school year, I guess, is really how to look at it. Because as I've said, my motto, when my last one goes to college, I go to cottage. I'm loving it. It's really fun. But there's been so much going on. And you have to tell me really quick what I'm missing in Sun Valley, because after living there for 30 plus years, this end of summer brings like Wagon Days parade and some of the Labor Day excitement. And you told me over the phone the other day, you're not missing much, but you've got to update me. What's been going on in Sun Valley?
All right. Well, this weekend gets very busy because a lot of tourists come in just to celebrate this traditional weekend with Wagon Day parade, which is a really, don't you think it's a draw for so many people? So that the town is crowded. I will tell you, the weather's beautiful. I did a little bit of hiking this morning. So, you know, that traditional day, Adams Gulch.
Nice.
It was beautiful. And let me tell you, Oh, and then we have lots of sales. This morning I did make my way to a few of the stores. All of our, you know, we're a seasonal business here. So all the summer things, Cindy, as you know, the sneakers and the bike helmets and little things that I actually put off purchasing about a month ago, I do put off till the end of the year. Also, I'm looking at, down at the bottom of River Run, we have some of the ski wares on sale. So you're missing that, but that's okay because you know what that's all about. I have dear friends that are coming in this weekend from Seattle. They're only here for three nights this season. Our good friends, the Holmeses, who you know, Cindy, they're here for, I guess, till Sunday night.
Good.
So, I mean, all is good, but I'm more excited for you because I just love change. I think it's exciting. I'm excited for you. And I know I have to talk about this one as we're talking to each other right now. And I've made moves before. And I know Cindy's transitioning into a darling cottage on a strand, which is overlooking the ocean, which is going to be pretty incredible. But temporarily for the next few nights, you're staying in a hotel.
That's right. We don't take possession of our beach house until the 1st of September. And yet we didn't want to wait that long for a lot of different reasons. So here we are. And we're holed up in a cute little hotel in Manhattan Beach, which is fine. You see the surfboard painting.
I do.
That's over the bed. I mean,
only in California, right?
Cindy, exactly.
I can see the surfboards and the ocean. I said to Cindy, you can tell you're in California. You're not in Idaho anymore.
That's so cute here. And what I love too is there's so many options in the city. Whatever you need is here. I have to just tell you a quick story, which was actually a little scary just this morning. I brought one of my cats with me. One is staying in Idaho with Brad, and she will be well cared for there. She's way too skittish and she would run away or something if given the chance. So I brought my other kitty Pebbles with us, and she's really mellow. But today was grooming day. And I love the options of the city because, you know, there's so many groomers here, but I didn't even want that because it would stress her out after the move to have to go and get in a cage and go drive in the car and go to some strange groomer's offices or whatever. And so I found that they have what they call Groomingdales here, which is a mobile grooming. And it's so cute. So they bring their van to you, and people that are living in the cities hearing this, you probably know what I'm talking about. These mobile pet grooming opportunities. And it was just so cool. But what happened is when I went into another of the family hotel rooms, I'm here with some family members, to get my cat to take her out to the grooming van, I couldn't find her. And I literally thought that she had gotten out somehow because we looked through every crevice of that place and she was nowhere to be found, Colleen. It was so scary. I was so upset. And then that we had the groomer come and help us. And she actually found pebbles. She had gotten in one of the chest of drawers from the back of the piece of furniture. And because the drawers had not ever been opened, she climbed somehow in from behind the furniture and got in the bottom drawer and was hiding there. And
oh my goodness.
The groomer was a full service. We were so grateful. And now she looks really pretty too.
But so now, do you find the hotels when you were coming? Like, I've traveled across country with my dogs. And the reason I'm asking is that was the criteria. Where could we stay where we did not have to sneak the dogs in? Oh, which, by the way, we have done that. But is it all animal friendly? Or you had no problem bringing the cat in?
That's part of why I chose this particular hotel. Right. Because they allow pets. And this was quite a scene. I had everyone helping me looking for, because there was a little crack in the window.
It is scary.
So we were worried she got out. So we had a lot of people on the grounds helping us look for the cat outside when the groomer came in and found her in a drawer. It was crazy. But anyway, it was scary. And I was mentioning this to Colleen on the phone this morning, and you were telling me of a hair-raising story.
I wish it was about an animal. I had a horribly scary event years ago. My gosh, over 10 years ago. She was only about 4 years old, and this is Noelle I'm talking about.
Wow.
So we were visiting a friend in Montana. It was a rainy day, and it's just we're out, not in the middle of nowhere, but we're, there's mountains. It's not isolated, but it's lots of water, and it was a dreary day. So we were all indoors for the day. And at some point, I kept my eye on her. I'm really a micromanager, Cindy. By nature, I'm wired that way. So I always had my eye on Noelle. But for some reason, I just remember, wow, where's Noelle? And oh my gosh, I ran into the room. You have that horrible sense of like, where is she? Where is she? You're running from place to place. Because this is a house that has a main home. And you've been there. Then they have those other homes on the property.
Like the
play area, the other home. So I was exhausted trying to run from place to place. And then I had everyone alarming everyone to keep their eye out for Noelle. To wrap up the story, she was found about 20 minutes later. As you shared, when you mentioned a piece of furniture, there was an armoire in the bedroom, and she had placed herself on on the second shelf, put the pillow down and took herself, placed herself down for a nice little nap. And a friend of mine, I guess she had the door a little bit, it was closed enough that when you entered the room, like when I first entered, and I was like, Noelle, I didn't see anyone. So fortunately it had a happy ending, but I freak about all that. It still reminds me when you were talking about the kitty. And I think the move itself, I have a few friends who have moved recently, and the same thing I shared with you, they've all of a sudden they can't find their kitty, and maybe it's just a traumatic experience for your kitty there, Pebbles.
Well, apparently it's really hard for cats to move and to travel. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to wait about 2 weeks if you have an indoor outdoor cat to even let them outside, because they would run away for sure. Ours are all indoor cats anyway. But that was part of why we were so nervous, was because we knew she was, and that she would possibly run away under these circumstances. But anyway, that is a really scary story about Noelle, and how funny she was curled up in furniture.
Like a little,
little tiny thing had found a little nest. But what were you like? Colleen, I would have been a basket case, and I know you must have been.
I was, because my nature is that I get so nervous that I have to calm myself down and think, as opposed to react. I mean, I really do, but I put myself right in that worst case scenario. And to this day, the people that shared that trip with me, Cindy, they will bring it up, and I still have that panic feeling. Right now, as I tell the story, my palms sweat. But just because my nature is, I am a watcher. I mean, let's talk about this in this sense. Do you know that I have my children on Find Your Friends? Do you have Find Your Friends on your phone?
But I want to hear about this, because my kids have their friends on it. So please tell. I need to get educated. I want to know
how to be really careful what I share, even though I know that they can hear this. They don't listen to me on the show.
Is this an invasion of privacy? Why does it matter? I think it's a great idea.
Well, there's probably two schools of thought. There's probably many ways to think about it. But initially, I put Find Your Friends on my phone.
What's it called? Find My Friends.
Let me make sure. Maybe be exact.
I'm looking at myself. Colleen Weaver, right, today on 50 File on this whole thing, because I want to do this.
And it just says Find Friends.
Friends. Okay.
Yes. So it started as a way when Noelle was in high school and she was gone that I really just, even though I knew she was in a safe environment, it just, I just made me feel better. How does that sound? She traveled. So I always wanted to make sure when she was traveling.
Did she have it?
Yes.
Well, of course.
And I look at it like this, I'm paying for the phone. So I have every right to know. I don't care if she's a minor or if she's 17 or 18. I still felt very strongly that I should know. And I also, Cindy, wanted to have my mother on it because I'm away from my mom. And so now I do have my children on Find. It's just an app. I guess I downloaded it. But what happens is you're asking permission. So when you request to have your daughter, Christine, on, Christine will get a request. Will you accept this request? And she'll say accept. And then you will get a request back. Christine, you both need to share your locations.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, so and I are sharing each other.
Yeah. So they always know that they're part of this program. So Colleen, it's just an app.
Yes. And then it will,
download
you know,
like onto Samsung, it can be yes. Android or iPhone.
My understanding is all of it. I have an iPhone, so I'm assuming anybody can do this, but I
like it. And tell us what you love about it. Your mother, for instance, it's all
right. So my mother, if I want to reach her and I know she's at home, I she has doctor's appointments and things. I can find out like by checking, say I was trying to reach her by phone. I don't look at Find My Friends first. I dial her. And then if I haven't reached her for a while, then I might check and say, oh, I wonder if my mom's home. Maybe she's, because if she's home, I'm even more concerned. Why aren't you picking up? But it doesn't rule my life the way I'm saying it, but it's just this comfort that I know she's okay. Usually, same with her. I travel a lot. It makes her feel better that she knows where I am. But one of the things it can do for a personality like myself, the well is away at school, right, Cindy? So do I really want to know at 11 o'clock on a Friday night or where she is all the time? For me personally, no. I don't want to. I know that that's like, to me, I look at it like that's the weekend, just like you would with your kids. I don't need to be in her soup, nor do I need to create what I would call stress for myself, because I know she's probably not going to be in her dorm room. So then therefore, it would just create a lot of anxiety for me.
What if you did want to know where she was? Noelle went to boarding school for the 4 years of high school. So in those circumstances, if she wasn't in on a weekend and you wanted to check in, what would you do to find out? Does it tell you on a map, like Google Maps, where they are?
Yes.
Well, actually, wait. And so you can find out if they're at a friend's or if they're out at a restaurant, it'll tell you.
Well, what it does that I'm not as familiar, like my mother's location's easy because I know where my mother lives. It tells you the name of the road. It doesn't give you the street address. Oh, it will tell you. So because I know our road, now Noelle, the same, it might say, I don't know. It doesn't say the name of her dorm or where she is exactly, but I know the campus now, and I know where she's settled on campus, and it will give the name of the school. So if the kids are at school, you'll see the university name, and then you'll get an idea just from looking at it where they are, but it doesn't necessarily tell me the name of the building. And what I like about it is this. Now, Hunter was traveling. So he's traveling today, and he's going to Las Vegas. I know he's going to text me. Pretty much we have this family, you're probably the same, where just keep in touch, landed, I'm taking off, just
yeah,
so we're
protocols.
All like, group text.
Yeah, we're checking on a family in.
That I know is going to happen, but it's just kind of like a reassurance for me. But
I love it.
I think now that Christine is going to classes and commuting and for all those things and the boys, I don't think I'm going to be looking at that on the weekend too much at night, because I don't know that I would be talking to her, say that afternoon and knowing exactly, even if she told me where she was headed, I don't even really know where that is. So do I want to get myself all worked up? What do you think?
That is an interesting concept. Almost like you're asking for trouble in terms of getting yourself stressed. You expect her to be out. She's in college now. And I have to
right.
say, for 50 File, this is sort of a two-part podcast. This is part one. Part two, we're going to speak a lot about college. I can't wait to hear the details of Noelle and where, what she's up to and how it was dropping her off at college. Colleen, I can't wait. So I'd love to get into that more on our next podcast. Let's do this. Let's stick to mom for a minute.
Right.
Tell me about Pat. Dear Pat, and how
right, we're going to recap her. A little bit on the last few weeks. Cindy,
I know that while I was in New York, this is again summer's end. I took a quick trip to New York with Christine as part of her graduation from high school, and we did the Broadway thing again. And we just had the time of our lives for a week. While I was there, you were with your mom for part of it. You tell first, I'll tell about New York, and then we'll close here and open our new podcast for next time about college, because that needs its own podcast. It's so absolutely much information. It's so exciting. It's a huge change.
And I think all of your ventures are so much more exciting right now. And so we want to end on that happy, exciting note for you. Cindy just said, I mentioned I had been back to see my mother. She's right. I had spent about a week. My mom is on the mend, but she hasn't been feeling well. So I was back spending time. Really, spending time would be the most important part of the trip. But when I do go back there, I try to say things like, hey, you know, I'm here if you're feeling up to it. We did take a drive down the shore, the Jersey Shore. These are just little simple events, but they were big events for my mom. And just the way we could spend some time and she was feeling up to it was encouraging. So I had more of just a simple end of the summer. I mean, I have, you know, really Charles and I are adjusting to our new life. As we talked in our last podcast, we have sold our home and we're renting a place in town. So I'm getting accustomed and used to my new living and a freer way of living, Cindy, you know, in a lot of ways. I think
yeah,
we're not alone for this venture. If anyone else is downsizing, I'm not moving into a house right away. So we're in this phase of renting, and that's been actually, it's okay. I like it. I mean, I think we live in the now. For most of us, whatever we're doing, I think the best approach is that's what I'm doing. When people say, oh, how do you like it? Or I'm not really evaluating. It's what we decided to do until we can make up our mind for a more permanent move.
I think that's part of being an empty nester. It's part of the beauty of it is that you can be spontaneous. You don't have to plan as much. I'm sure that's part of it. I just had a tiny taste of it in the last, you know, month thinking about how that's all happening to me as well. I decided to push pause on breaking ground on the new house in Sun Valley because I've been nesting for 30 years, it seems, mm-hmm. and anticipating, you know, children. And then I was anticipating in this downsizing phase, grandchildren. So building the house that suits everyone's needs and future grandchildren needs. And I thought, well, what's the sense of urgency? I'm going off to California for a year. Why do I have to start digging this hole in the ground and put this foundation in and get this started right now? Why not wait a little bit?
Well, I think what's great about it is
I paused.
I'm glad you paused, but you know what's even better about it? Even though you probably haven't thought of it this way, I think you're such a giver and you've been living that life like a lot of people, but you know, you putting other people's best interests before yourself, finishing the school, staying true to and committed as a mother, you really have. And I'm telling the world for you, you're investing in you right now and you have so many exciting things. So let's go back to one of probably my favorite city, New York. Cindy Dufour and her daughter went to New York. So tell me everything you did there that you want to share and every show you saw and everywhere.
Oh, you're so sweet. You know, it's funny, please. Colleen, I don't do Facebook or Insta very often. I didn't even post one picture from my trip. It was so chock full and so exciting, but I didn't even post. I just went on this really great trip, mother-daughter trip. And it was so full and so fulfilling and everything. And it just was a dream. It was perfect. It was busy. And
what's great about your dream with that, Cindy, is you were a theater buff and so is your daughter. So mutually you share this passion together, which because you're both performers. So for a lot of us who love shows, like I love it and Noelle used to be in shows, what's so special about your trip with Christine is Christine is a budding actress herself. You're an actress. And it kind of makes me giddy and like, I would love to be with, we're doing a trip, all of us together, but that had to be a blast.
Are you planning a trip for the mother-daughters?
Well, no, but we will wait, this is in our future because we have everything else on pause but us. So tell me, what shows did you see?
Well, we did some repeats. Christine got to do the itinerary and she wanted to see Dear Evan Hansen, which was her favorite from our fall trip. I have to tell you, it was so spectacular and spoke to her so much. She wanted to see it again. So we did. And it was new players. You know, there's so much changeover with this young cast. I mean, right now, the boy that plays the lead, Evan Hansen, I think is only 17. And they were so young that there's a lot of turnover. Mallory, whom we have a friend that knows her well, and we were, and she plays Zoe, the girlfriend, the love interest. She was only Mallory, the girl that was in it we saw in the fall, was only there for about a year, maybe a year and a half before she went ahead and had a replacement. So we saw her replacement the other night. I mean, it was unreal. So there's a lot of turnover, and Christine was very fascinated to see the new cast.
I bet.
Phenomenal job. And it was great to see the differences, the choices, you know, in the performances.
She's seeing
all of them are world class.
Yeah. She's seeing things probably in a professional light. Like when you just said that, you know, when you see the show more than once, I will tell you and confess, I can see certain shows over and over. And when you're a theater major or profession, like she's considering, just to see how someone else plays that character is really valuable for her in her field. And you know what? I think actually Christine could be in that show one day.
You're sweet. It's her.
It could be a very, she first off has,
you're very sweet, but that's her highest goal. That is what she,
well, you know what? I called it out. I'm front row and center.
Aunt Colleen. So Mallory, who plays or used to play Zoe, because she's a friend of my son Doug's from college, Christine was able to interview her for her senior project.
Oh, wow.
Her project on Broadway and other theater too, like differences, the community theater, the whole spectrum. Yeah. And she was able to interview her, and she got so much insight. And the big question that everybody wanted to know, that they're asked the most from the people that Christine interviewed, was how do you have the stamina to do these shows 8 a week, week after week after week, for those, for that kind of time commitment? And the younger people don't have this, the longevity that the older cast members do. Some have been doing it for, you know, over decades. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. Night after night. And a lot of them talk about it as you would think of a yoga practice. The gal who plays Carol King in Beautiful talked about it that, and we saw that, by the way, that was one, we were there for 5 days in, let's see, we saw 5 shows. It was amazing. And the gal who plays Carol King said that it's like a yoga practice where, every, you know, people that are really serious about their yoga, they do it every day. And they don't think about, well, here I have to do it again. It's just part of their daily. And they also know that it changes every day ever so slightly and that it evolves. And so they keep it, she said, a lot of these Broadway stars keep their thought in that realm, the longevity and all, so that they can have and maintain that kind of rigorous schedule. So it's quite interesting. It's a job for them, but it's a passion.
It is. I don't think it becomes work. I think you're, you know, when I worked at Radio City and people would always take the number of shows, Cindy, and ask about it, I used to think, wow, who was counting? Because for me, I looked forward to every time going out there because like you just said, it's just, it when you love something, you just can't, you just enjoy doing it. You're not, you don't even think you're working. But you know, when you were talking about the show, remember, and I'm trying to Google her name, but the cast of Glee, before Glee, was her name, is her name Leah? Right. Look at you. I knew you'd know her. Okay. So when Leah, wasn't Leah initially on Broadway with the show? Wasn't it Awakening or what was that? There was a Broadway show like you're sharing with, which had a very young cast. Yeah. And then it launched into the, yes. Right. At this whole Dear Evan Hansen, which by the way, I have not seen, reminds me of this, that, like that young cast, those up and coming actors that are.
Right. And then it just launches careers in other areas too.
But in for my every daughter, way.
This is the pinnacle in Broadway. And we were there that week in the hottest part of the summer, August, because Colleen Ballinger has a stint in Waitress on Broadway for a month. And Christine has followed Colleen Ballinger as her character Miranda Sings. She's a major YouTube sensation. Christine's followed her since she was a little girl. And she now, as Colleen Ballinger herself, also is has a huge following, like in the billions.
Wow.
And so she had Christine Dufour, her mother, moi, and an entire theater packed with young women and teenagers screaming at the top of their lungs for this actress when she came on stage as Dawn in Waitress, the second and the supporting role. And she did such a great job. And then we stood out as we often do after shows and get autographs. And Christine was so happy. She was standing with hordes of young women waiting for Colleen Ballinger to come out of the stage door and sign. And she did. And I was started screaming right along with them. It was so exciting. It was just the best. It was so much fun. So that was the reason we actually planned the trip to New York in August, because it is so hot, so crazy.
It is.
Theater district, Midtown Manhattan, the theater district is right in Times Square. So it is just a mass of humanity there 24/7. And you just,
it's overstimulation, which you and I like.
Well, it is, except honestly, it's almost too much Times Square in the summer. It was nuts. Mm-hmm. But you can walk on those side streets where Broadway's happening, and then it's a little calmer. But we saw beautiful Dear Evan Hansen. And then my all-time favorite is Phantom of the Opera. And Christine had never seen it on Broadway before. She's named after Christine Daae, the heroine, the character in Phantom. And so I had to have her see that. And it was epic. It was unbelievable. And then we saw a couple other major ones, the blockbuster Wicked, because Christine,
of course,
feel like that's probably, if we had to choose a favorite that we share, it's Wicked. Mm-hmm. And neither of us had seen Wicked on Broadway. So
I've actually seen that. I feel really good that I've seen all the shows that you've said, except Dear Evan Hansen. Often, I mean, I've seen I wanted to ask you, Phantom of the Opera, has it been on Broadway? Could we say like 25 years, maybe
longer?
I believe you.
It's 30 and it's okay. The longest running Broadway show ever. It's one record finally.
I have seen probably on Broadway 3 times. And when I was in London the summer before, I took Noelle. And I was thinking to myself, and Wicked, how many times, but there are those shows that are just, we know every piece of music in it. First off, I'm so familiar with the music. I'm in love with just hearing it over and over. And Wicked's one of my all-time favorite.
Me too.
I'm a freak about Hamilton, though. I know it's such a luxury to be able to even say that we saw that show. I wish the theater wasn't as expensive as it is. But I've read this before, and I don't want to speak out of term. When you are a student in New York City in certain schools, Cindy, do you know that they actually open up their theater to the student body? Like, there's a lot of schools that are welcome to come into the theater free of charge. And I, more than anyone, love that, because when I worked in New York, I didn't have the resources to really see shows. And even now, like, it's a really big deal. You know, I go to TKTS, there's ways you can get discounted tickets. Like, Phantom probably wasn't nearly as expensive.
Red Steps.
Right. But you have to be really patient, wait in line. You don't necessarily get the best seats, but I'm excited. Okay, good. She got to see all those shows.
And now, as we're ending this podcast, we have so much. So the next podcast that we're going to ramp up here in very soon, maybe within the next few days, will be a follow-up on some of what we've talked about here. I want to get back to college because it's huge. It's huge, huge, huge. Our babies, our girls, our college girls now, we have to talk about drop-off. We have to have that discussion. And also, the other thing that happened when I was in New York is kind of exciting to tell.
It's not the word. It's huge.
Well, it is, but it's just still a work in progress. So maybe I don't want to jinx it by talking about it yet. But how about if we sign off here and we promise to pick up where we left off? We're going to talk about college. We're going to talk about the fact that Colleen and I still love and are pursuing our careers in performance art, whether it's in the mountains where we do theater and podcasting and radio, or because we're branching out as empty nesters now, we get to frolic around some on both coasts, LA, New York, where you need to be one or the other to do the real professional film and TV stuff. And I will speak for myself, that still is a box I have not checked, and I can't stand it. I have to. And that's part of what Colleen and I have fun together in our 50s talking about still doing, even though we've been mountain girls. We're really city actresses at heart, living in the mountains all this time. And now we're venturing out. And part of what little country mice have to do when they're in the city is do some professional acting, for God's sake.
Cindy, you're so naturally good at it. Everyone who's listening is like, you're not going to have a problem. But you know what Cindy and I are finally doing? We're putting ourselves in the cities where the action happens, because what you find is we've postponed a lot of things I wouldn't trade one of our choices, but if you're not in the arena, you're not up for anything. So I'm excited for you being on in Los Angeles this next few I say we're not even going to have a time frame. What you're going to do is you're going to stay open to all the possibilities.
Well, I am supposed to break ground April 15th of 2020. And I have all this team of builders and lovely people waiting and saying, okay, we'll pause, but let's do it in April. So I probably have to do that regardless, but I'll tell you, not having that huge commitment this fall and winter allows me to feel even freer. And I can tell you, just having been in LA just a few days and not having that anchor pulling at me is kind of nice. It's fun. It's a new adventure. Let's talk about it some more in the next podcast. Listeners, you know, we love you so much. Honestly, you've been our faithful audience when we have just needed to scratch this itch that Colleen and I have. And we just adore you. It's the 50 File Girls, Cindy and Colleen.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Ooh.